Right now, after a jump in monkeypox cases, 11 state health clinics are set to give out the monkeypox vaccine, and they're now bracing for an influx of appointments.
That NBC 10 report is from yesterday. There are more than 50 cases in Massachusetts at last count after the first case in the U.S. was reported here in May. But Provincetown is on it, drawing lessons from the HIV/AIDS pandemic, lessons we can use. To tell us how they're doing it, with us, State Senator Julian Cyr, who represents Provincetown, and Dan Gates, President and CEO of the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod. State Senator Cyr, welcome.
Good morning, Tiziana.
And Dan Gates, welcome to you as well.
Good morning, Tiziana.
So, State Senator Cyr, what is the latest on the virus in Provincetown? We know there's been at least one case, correct?
So MPV, or monkeypox, but we're referring to it as MPV, has been present in gay and bisexual men and men of sex men for at least 6 weeks here in the United States. Actually, Massachusetts was the state that had the first confirmed case. So Provincetown, like any community with a large population of gay and bisexual men and men of sex men, MPV is present here. And so we've been acting accordingly, first preparing with the tremendous partners that we have in our municipal health department, the county health department, Outer Cape Health Services, which is our remarkable community health center, community organizations like the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod, and we've got my friend Dan Gates on the line, and our local business community, in anticipating the presence of MPV in the context of the busy summer season. That first took the form of public education and awareness, especially to our seasonal and year-round residents and to our workforce. And really since the beginning of July, that's taken the form of a pretty robust vaccination effort that's provided vaccination to over 1,400, first dose vaccination to over 1,400 individuals.
So Dan Gates of the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod, what did that early public education look like? What were the messages?
Sure. So the early messaging was, and a lot of our initial outreach was via social media and contacting people directly. But the early messaging was just to remember that while this is not an STI, it's a contagious viral disease that was
sexually transmitted infection is STI, correct?
Thank
Sorry
you.
To interrupt you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. No, you're right. Acronyms. So it was really about reaching the community most impacted. Our community was at risk, obviously. So the messaging was just on the facts that we knew at the time and on ways to prevent and identify.
And what's working, Dan Gates?
Community. I would say the community response has been phenomenal. We are very fortunate to have friends like Senator Cyr and Representative Peek. Really, they were Senator Cyr and Representative Peek were on this right from the start. So what's been working is reaching out to people and finding ambassadors within the community. The way to do this is to have people talk to other people, and that way you can get into some of the nuance of the conversation more. So we've been really fortunate to have friends at local bars who are, you know, bartenders or service staff or performers in town, all really gather, get information, and share that within their own social networks.
So, Senator Julian Cyr, it's hard to imagine something that's more both global and local than when you've got a virus spreading both globally and locally. What is it about the Provincetown community that allowed everyone to mobilize so quickly? And what was most important for you to do in your role as the state senator?
Well, here in Provincetown, this certainly isn't our first infectious disease. And actually, you know, in the context of COVID-19, this isn't our first pandemic. You know, Provincetown in the 80s and early 90s and really ever since has been on the forefront in responding to the HIV/AIDS, you know, pandemic at a time when governments at all levels were turning their back on gay and bisexual men who were living with AIDS and who were dying of AIDS. Provincetown was, you know, really mounted a community-based response, starting actually with the AIDS Support Group, starting with a number of other, you know, members in our community, really at a time, right, where LGBTQ people were, you know, seen as pariahs and not supported. And not seen as worthy or deserving of attention and care. And so, you know, here at Lens End, we had to create our own response. And really in Provincetown, we pioneered some of the most effective responses to HIV/AIDS until the HIV cocktails came along in the mid 90s. And that legacy is something that continues here. You know, that's something that I certainly grew up with. A lot of my own motivation and interest in public health and public service comes out of the response to the HIV AIDS, you know, pandemic here. And we, it's also given us lessons and tools that we can rely on as a community. I hearken back to last summer when we were dealing with really the first documented outbreak of the Delta variant of COVID-19, which was here in Provincetown. And really what we saw in the Delta outbreak last year was that it was the health-seeking behavior of our community, right?
Behavior? And tell us what you mean by that.
Well, health-seeking behavior, right, means, you know, if I'm feeling sick, if I got a sore throat or I got something going on that's not, that I'm not feeling well, that I'm going to go seek medical attention. And Americans are not very good at seeking medical attention. And men are particularly bad at seeking medical attention, right? There's all this data about how, you know, men in America sort of end up very, very sick in the emergency department because they're not receiving care. The difference with gay and bisexual men, and I'm part of, you know, I'm a queer man. You know, we have been taught, you know, from an early age that you do seek medical attention, that you do seek health care, which is part of the legacy of HIV/AIDS. So when it came to Delta last summer, you know, people like me, my friends, right, our cohort, people were getting sick in early July. And instead of just sort of blowing off the symptoms, they went to our community health center, maybe thinking they had strep throat, maybe they had a sexually transmitted infection. And it turns out that it was COVID. We were able to document this, respond really, really swiftly. And the Provincetown Delta cluster, first and foremost, informed federal, you know, national policy around COVID-19, and that with the Delta variant, that it was possible for vaccinated individuals to contract COVID. And then also, you know, we were able to really stem the outbreak and really didn't have the reach it could have had because of that health-seeking behavior.
So State Senator Julian Sear there telling us about how the experiences from last summer's Delta outbreak in Provincetown reflect this summer's ahead-of-the-curve action by Provincetown on monkeypox, or MPV. Also with us, Dan Gates, who's president and CEO of the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod. Dan, I'm going to play a little sound for you. This is courtesy of ABC News. It's Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the chief medical advisor to the White House last Friday.
It's something we need to take seriously, not to panic by it, because we do have a lot of understanding of it, as well as countermeasures. There are vaccines that are available to prevent and respond to monkeypox. There are antivirals that are available. So we're not in the dark about this, although we really must take it seriously.
So, Dan, how is the vaccine campaign going? Senator Sear made reference to it earlier in the conversation.
Yeah, I would say it's going phenomenally well. The one thing that I think really helps Provincetown in a moment like this is the key with a public health response is the communal response. It's not about an individual. It's about taking care of one another. The way people have jumped on, I mean, we learned we would have access to vaccines here in Provincetown for MPV on July 6th. Outer Cape Health Services was administering the vaccine the next day, so July 7th. And as Senator Sear mentioned, we've had over 1,400 people get vaccinated in Provincetown already. And much like the parallels with COVID, we have an extremely high vaccination rate here in P-Town for COVID. This community really does seem to understand, I think it is the legacy of HIV and AIDS in town, that public health is all about a community response and that we're in this together.
And Dan, just briefly remind us who qualifies for a vaccine for MPV right now in the Commonwealth.
Sure. So right now, anyone who is considered to be at high risk of being exposed to monkeypox, as well as those who have known they have been exposed to monkeypox. So a high risk group, and particularly right now, is for gay, bi, trans, and non-binary folks who identify as male.
And Senator Sear, that 24-hour turnaround between news of the vaccine and getting it, that was your experience, yes?
Yes, it was. I have received the first dose JYNNEOS vaccine for MPV. I qualify. I'm a man who has sex with men, and we really focused on reaching out to our seasonal workforce and to, you know, the people who live here year-round, the folks that we call townies, first, because we wanted to make sure that they have some degree of protection. But the fabulous thing about this vaccine is we know that with one, it's a two-dose regime, but with the first dose, within 2 weeks, you have 85% protection against NPV, which is pretty high for a vaccine. And so what we did is we made sure that the bartenders, the waiters, the folks who are cleaning rooms, you know, the people who, you know, make a life here on Land's End, that they got a first chance to get this vaccination. Because, you know, yes, monkeypox, if you contract MPV, certainly it's painful, it's uncomfortable, there's a level of, you know, shame and challenge associated with it, but it also can be financially devastating to someone's livelihood. MPV, essentially, you have to be fully recovered, you have to wait till the pustules burst, scab over, and new skin grows. That's a 2 to 3 week process. It could even be longer. If you're a bartender, if you're a waiter, if you're someone working in our hospitality sector here, we've got a short 10-week season. Being out of work for 2 or 3 weeks, that's 20-30% of your income. That could be devastating to your livelihood. So we really focus on making sure that we took care of our hospitality workers, our restaurant, our workers, the folks who are serving people every day here, to make sure that we not only protect them from MPV, but we're making sure that they have some level of protection for their livelihoods as well.
We're talking with State Senator Julian Cyr and Dan Gates of the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod about monkeypox or MPV. And I want to take that part head on, Dan. You are pushing for us to use the medical term MPV instead of monkeypox because of stigma around monkeypox. Can you explain that to us a bit?
Sure. I think... Monkeypox, I think what was helpful about that phrase is it definitely is something that once people hear it, it resonates and they remember it. What's not helpful sometimes is kind of the associations that can come with that, where it can be very misleading as to what the risks are, right? So it is, again, it's people who are sexually active who are at risk. And by just focusing on the MPV, it's actually not dissimilar to educating people early on about the difference between HIV and AIDS, right? Language really matters. It's important to our legacy here in Provincetown and at the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod is providing services for people that are free of stigma. And so we're very intentional about our language so that we can be inclusive.
So one of the things you'd like our listeners to do is consider using MPV instead of monkeypox in everyday language as we continue as a Massachusetts community to discuss this viral spread.
Absolutely.
All right, so Senator Cyr, I'm going to come back to you for a minute as well. The other thing early on in the public conversation with this round this year of MPV or monkeypox were misperceptions that it was actually a sexually transmitted infection as opposed to something that's transmitted by close contact, which means if you have sexual contact, that's pretty close contact. Talk about how important that is both to the LGBTQ community for us to understand more broadly and in our shifting response to the spread of this virus.
Well, you know, I think giving people information about what a given virus is, how it's transmitted, and what are steps that people can take to reduce their risk of transmission is really important. And so, you know, MPV is transmitted by close intimate contact. Close intimate contact happens when you're having sex, but it's just not, close intimate contact is not only just confined to when folks have sex. So we've been really talking about this in our community to make sure that, you know, particularly before we had, you know, the level of vaccination, we weren't sure if we were going to get, you know, arguably such a substantial supply of vaccine. And a real credit to, you know, the Executive Office of Health and Human Services and the Department of Public Health and the Baker Administration in getting a very kind of significant supply of vaccine early on. That was hard to do. But for those who have not yet been able to get vaccinated, and even if you are vaccinated, right, you need to understand how this is potentially transmitted, and then you can take steps to, you know, reduce your risk. Even having conversations, you know, with people that you're having close intimate contact with, hey, you know, how are you feeling? Do you have any, you know, let's turn the lights on and take a look at one another and see if we have any signs of, I don't know, if there's, you know, just take a look. Those sort of steps help reduce the risk of further transmission of MPV. And so that's why talking about it is really important. That's why, you know, people like me, right, who are out people who are kind of public, it's important for people to me like me to be talking about MPV, but the steps people can take to reduce the risk, encouraging people to get vaccinated when vaccination's available, so we can get ahead of this.
And Dan, just briefly as we wrap, you said earlier memories of disease responses in the sidewalk and the sand here. Is Provincetown a lesson in what to do right that we could turn to now and again in the future when it comes to virus transmission?
Absolutely. As it was in the 80s and 90s, it has been for the last few years. It's all about that community response, coming together, honest, like what Senator Steer was just saying, right? Using your own story as you talk to people and using the vulnerable parts of yourself. And then there's a communal response that starts at a grassroots level. And that is always the most effective way to move forward. We're really lucky we have a template here in Provincetown and a wonderful, wonderfully engaged community.
All right. Dan Gates is president and CEO of the AIDS Support Group of Cape Cod, and State Senator Julian Sear, whose district includes Provincetown. Thanks to both of you for joining us today to teach us these lessons.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.